Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Of the Lord, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. Be some familiar scripture, but just cover some. You get different thoughts sometimes about things, but just wanted to start here today. Matthew 16 and 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And today I want to just cover this thought. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the instruction it gives, for the light it brings, for the faith it builds. And Lord, today I just ask you to let us hear what the Spirit would say. Let us understand your word. Let it help us and encourage us today. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise before you're seated this morning. What a great God. Search the scriptures. Who do men say that I am? You can be seated. God bless you. Who do men say that I am? And then more importantly, who do you say that I am? I think that the distinction there is that those that are closest to him should know him. I don't think it's a good idea to just sit in church and not learn who he is. I don't think it's wise that, say, I have a walk with God, but then have no understanding of who he is. Knowing who he is, he wanted to know, who do you say that I am? Now, a lot of people would say, "Oh, you're my Savior, you're my healer, you're my deliverer." Well, he's all of those things. He's all of those titles that we can ascribe to him. But he was asking something a little bit different, and Peter had the right answer, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Needed to know who he was, that he was not just another, but he was the one. And since his birth, people have been trying to decide and even debate who Jesus is. Today, that is very prevalent. People want to debate about who he is, especially against people who are oneness apostolic. They want to say that we deny the Father because we believe that the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Christ bodily, so that we deny the Father, or we deny the Holy Ghost, and we think it's just Jesus only, but it's not Jesus only, it's Jesus everything. He's all of this. But today, you know, there are an innumerable amount of resources that you could, and that if you begin that search or on the internet and you begin to look, that you could find just about any answer you want as to who he is. I mean, really, that some of the theories about him, or even some that he never even existed, that he was just a myth, that he was a folk hero made up to inspire people, but that he never actually even existed. So there's a lot of things out there, stories and articles, things you can look up, podcasts, videos, all kind of things that you can find, people wanting to know who he is. Just about every year around Easter, especially, you'll see on the, like maybe Time or magazine or something like that, at the checkout stand, there'll be a picture of him on the front cover. Who was he? And something talking about his life. People, the thing is, they can't get him off their mind. We need to know who he is. And if we want to know who he is, we can simply search the scripture. And when Jesus was talking to his disciples, now they didn't have Google or chat, GPT, LSD, whatever it is, ABC, all that stuff. That shows you I don't use it. But he comes to his disciples and he simply catches them in the middle of lunch, maybe. Hey, I got a question. Who do men say that I am? They begin to name the different things they have heard, the rumors, the rumblings about who you might be. Well, who do you say that I am? Do y'all fall into any of that, or do you know something else? And so Peter answers, and the answer given, the Lord lets him know, this is not given to you by flesh or blood. Understanding who I am is not something that man came up with. That ought to apply today. Yeah. Wanting to know who he is, I don't need to look at the papers and the treaties and all the books that men have written about him. I can simply search the scripture to find out who he is. And whatever you find out about him through scripture, you can bank on it that it is the absolute 100%, no wiggle room truth. The revelation was given from the Father, which is in heaven. God inspired Peter with that answer. When he was born, there was a demonstration and a declaration from heaven as the angel of the Lord appeared to some shepherds in a field, and a heavenly host later would come along behind him to sing the praises of the Lord, but he would announce that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It was a heavenly announcement. It was not from men, and we know that that was simply, before it was ever announced, it had already been prophesied. It was already in the Word of God in Micah 5 and 2 that the ruler of Israel would come out of Bethlehem. It was in the Word who he was. The Word will declare who he is. And if people would begin to look to the Word and not to the world, confusion would cease. Because God is not the author of confusion. But God is the author and the finisher of my faith. And my faith is in him. My faith, the righteousness, any righteousness that we have, it says, is through the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. My faith comes from the Word of God. We're going to see why this word, why you want to search the Word here in just this next verse, John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Search the Scripture, because the Word is God. So the Word will tell you exactly who he is. You don't have to go to theology school. You don't have to read everybody else's books. Now, I read books, and there's nothing wrong with reading books, but you can simply find out who he is in his book. It's good to get these other books, and you can read from people who will tell you there some things that they've shown, but everything that they tell you should come from this book. But we can search the Scriptures. And I do read a good bit. I think it's good to read, but I don't read anything as much as I read the Scripture, because everything I need to know is in here. I'm going to be okay if I stay in the book. The Word, the Scriptures will tell us exactly who he is, because he is the Word. We believe there's one God. Why? Because the scripture declares it. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. God gave that word to Moses to give to the people. Make them understand. They came out of a land full of gods, but they're going into the promised land with one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Paul would write to the church in Ephesus. Paul believed in one God. He believed in the writings of Moses and the prophets, and he would say of himself that he was very zealous of the traditions of his fathers, and he was very educated, had a great education, a great upbringing, a great knowledge of Scripture, and he would write to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 4 and 5, there is one Lord. He never changed his mind about that. When he got the revelation on the road to Damascus straight from the Lord, I am Jesus that you persecute, he never changed his belief. All of a sudden, now there's two. When he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he didn't say, oh, well, now there's three. He understood that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 14 and 9 would write this great scripture, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. The book of Revelation declares Jesus Christ as King of kings and Lord of lords. It says, and in that day there shall be one Lord. He's talking about in the future. He's talking about in a time not then. He said, in the future, in that day that's coming, there will be one Lord and his name will be one. Those scriptures, Ephesians 4, 5, Zechariah 14:9, only back up what God gave Moses in the beginning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's never going to change. And we were grafted into the vine that Israel was broken out of. And the only reason we can stay in there is we have to stay in by faith. He said, if they continue not in unbelief, they'll be grafted back in. God's able to do that. But if we lose our faith in who he is, we can be broken off. We are grafted into the vine, and there is one Lord. The Lord our God is one, and his name is one. That's why in the book of Matthew, the angel would tell them that you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His mission was in his name, Jehovah Savior, Jehovah saves. He shall save. And that simply lines up with previous scripture in Isaiah. Look unto me, all ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For I am God, and there is none else. There's nowhere else to look for your salvation. And that's why we know that in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, that he said, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's in that name. There's only one name whereby we must be saved. There is no other name. And that's in the scripture. That wasn't put in a paper. That wasn't something that had to be discussed by men. Paul would warn us, don't be deceived and spoiled by philosophy and vain deceits after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We know by Scripture that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's scripture. Isaiah 45 and 23, God said every knee would bow unto me. Because he's the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. If Jesus Christ is Lord, which we must confess, then he has to be God. For hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And if he is God, then he is the Word. Revelation 19 and 13 says that Jesus is called the Word of God. That's his name. He is the Word of God. And the angel would tell Mary and Joseph that his name would be called Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. That's simply what the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 7 and 14, that he would be God with us, and you will call his name Jesus. Search the scripture and you'll find out there's not two, there's not three, there's one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Praise God. You know, I've preached this before, talking about Moses and building of the ark, and I said before it was ever an ark, it was the Word. God spoke it, and then the action put it into existence. Well, the scripture says the Word was made flesh, but before he was ever flesh and blood, before they ever delivered him and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and lay him in a manger, there was a prophecy, Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and his name shall be, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the Everlasting Father. Jesus would say of himself, I and my Father are one. John 10 and 30. In John 14 and 7, when he was talking with his disciples, he said, if you had known me, who do men say that I am? He said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you do know him and you have seen him. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, when Philip said, well, show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how can you even say, show us the Father? If you've seen me, how are you saying it? How can you say, show me something else? Because I and my Father are one. That's the scripture, that he would be born. This child born would be the Mighty God, who is one, the Everlasting Father, who is one. I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When John the Baptist came preaching and preparing the way of the Lord, he told the people that he that's coming is preferred before me because he was before me. But John was older. But he said, yet he was before me. You know why he's before me? Because in the beginning was the Word. He was before me because he's been since the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. But the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Apostle Paul would tell his son in the Gospel, Timothy, Timothy, from a child you have known the Scriptures that make you wise unto salvation. If I'm going to be wise unto salvation, then the Scriptures must be telling me who the Savior is. You would have to know the Savior, and you would know him from the Scripture. Jesus said to the woman at the well, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. He would later tell the Jewish people and the Pharisees and Sadducees, he would tell them, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, because Moses wrote of me. Whenever you read the writings of Moses, he's writing about the manifested God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He's going to walk among you. He was writing about Jesus in Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Come on, somebody. I don't have to look anywhere else to find out who he is. I can search the Scriptures. I can do what Jesus said to do. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and it is those Scriptures that testify of me. He said, it's the Word that tells you who I am. When he asked the disciples, who the men say that I am, and who do you say that I am? Maybe he was testing their knowledge. It was unfolding. Everything they had sat in the synagogue and listened to Sabbath day after Sabbath day. All the Scriptures they had been brought up on. You've heard this, you've heard this, and now it is right here before your eyes, and so many people couldn't see it. And it's that way today, the scripture unfolded. The scripture gives us the story. I am convinced absolutely that if you had no knowledge at all, had never been polluted by any traditions of the world, and you just started reading this book from cover to cover, that you would never come to the conclusion that there are three. Because it never declares that. It never says it. It never states it in any form or fashion. But you would simply find out in the beginning there was a God that created all things. And you would read about this God that was going to come one day. And you would read about God being manifest in the flesh. And you would see the works of Jesus. And you would come to the natural conclusion that there is only one God. And God came to his people to save them. That it was God that purchased the church with his own blood. Praise God, for the scripture declares it. Search the scripture. In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long do you make us doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. But then he says, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. In verse 37, he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. In other words, we are one. Because he had already said that in verse 30. We are one. That's why when he said, I have told you and you don't believe me. And then if you were to go to chapter 14 of this same book and look at verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Now, why is he so adamant to say that so many times? Believe me for the works. Well, if you were to read this through the scriptures, through the gospels, in Matthew chapter 9, and you don't have these scriptures, so don't worry, sis, I'm just giving these for reference. Matthew 9, 27, and Matthew 20, 30, Mark 8, 22, and Mark 10, 46, and John 9, 1, you would see Jesus healing the eyes of the blind. In Mark 7 and 31, you would see Jesus opening the ears of that man who is deaf. In Matthew 9 and 1, Mark 2, 1, Mark 5, 18, John 5 and 1, you would see the lame beginning to walk and to leap. Before any of those miracles were performed, it was told long before that day what they would signify. And if you were to go to Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4 through 7, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. When your God comes, when your God shows up, only then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame man shall leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. In verse 4 he said, your God will come and save you. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His people, your God shall come. John 1 and 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. A lot of people think it doesn't matter. But how can it not matter? How can you worship who you don't know? Jesus said plainly, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And then he said, the Father wants true worshipers, people that will worship him in spirit and truth. If you're going to worship him, you need to know him. And these miracles that we read about, blinded eyes are being opened and deaf ears being unstopped and the lame jumping up and leaping and praising God, these were given to testify of God when he would be manifest in the flesh. And that's why Jesus says, search the scripture. Look at the scripture. Believe. If you won't believe the words that are coming out of my mouth, then you have to believe me for the works, because these works were saved for God himself. They will testify of who he is. They will declare his glory. They will declare his deity. They will let you know that it is still true. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and that God was manifest in the flesh. Praise God. God was manifest in the flesh. But he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Praise God. Aren't you glad you know him? And people say, well, I don't know if it matters. Does it really matter? Oh, I know that Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. I think I want to find out who he is. He was telling them in that day, because I am the Savior. I think you need to know the Savior if you're going to be saved by him. I think when you're being baptized in that name, you ought to know who that name applies to. And you need to know, because he said plainly, the prophecy is, and they that call upon the name of the Lord. I need to know, because there's only one Lord, and he's been from the beginning. He was simply manifest in the flesh, and he died for our sins, shed his blood so that we could be free. So if I'm calling on the name of the Lord, I want to know who I'm calling on. I'm not calling on any other deity. I'm not calling on some second person. I'm calling on the Lord God Almighty. I'm calling on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm calling on the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Lamb of God that was slain. Praise God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. We ought to lift our hands for just a second and give him glory in this house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is no God beside him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And second, if I didn't give you, don't worry about trying to pull it up. I'll just read it. There's some scriptures I've just jotted down or some that are coming to my mind while I'm preaching. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's why we search the scriptures. I don't have to check nobody's meme. I don't have to quote nobody else. I can simply go to the scripture, and it declares, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It tells exactly. God is telling us exactly who he is. All that scripture is given is profitable for our doctrine, and our doctrine is that there is one God, and his name is Jesus. And it is profitable for reproof and for correction. Sometimes if you want to help somebody get, not scolding and correct, but if you want to help correct somebody's course, just give them scripture. Because they can quote the internet, and they can throw back all these books and people that wrote this, that, and all these councils that met and declared this and said that. But none of that changes what the Bible said before any of that started. The scripture, the holy scriptures that Paul would talk to Timothy about, it doesn't change what he wrote. It doesn't change what God gave to Moses. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Praise God. I'm glad I know him. I promise you, one day every knee's going to bow, like it said, and every tongue will confess that it is Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the one we're going to, that's the name that will roll off of our lips. It's going to be that name of Jesus, that name that we have trusted in, that name that we have prayed in, that name that we have been baptized in, filled with the Holy Ghost comes in His name. Friend, everything is in Him. We are complete in Him. It is something that they think that Jesus is somebody else, and yet we're complete in Him. But God created man in His image. So how could I be complete in somebody else? God is the author and the finisher of my faith. Search the Scriptures and find. If you were to turn back to 1 Timothy 3:16, you would see that Paul would write, "And without controversy, Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness." It's a mystery. And if God don't give you that revelation, you know, if you won't search His Word, He said, if you'll seek Me, you'll find Me. Well, where do you seek God at? In His Word. It's not just laying down and screaming out, "Hey, I'm searching for You." He said, you can find Me. Search the Scriptures. They testify of Me. Look what the Scripture says. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, one God, here O Israel, the Lord our God is one. God was manifest in the flesh. That's John 1 and 14. The Word was God. The Word was manifest in the made flesh and dwelt among us. He was manifest in the flesh. When was God? If you're reading this for the first time, you would think, when was God manifest in the flesh? And then you could simply go to the book of Luke and you could read. Or you could watch Charlie Brown Christmas and let Linus tell you. I think Linus, apostolic man, come on. But he said, the angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Right there. You go back to Isaiah. I've seen that word Savior. Let me go all the way back to Isaiah. When he says, "I am the Savior and there's none beside Me. There's no other Savior beside Me. Look unto Me and be saved, for I'm God and there is none else." He's telling you, there's no other Savior but Me. Christ, well, we know God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. God shed His blood and purchased the church. Praise God. So when was God manifested in the flesh? When He was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in that manger, just as the angels declared. That's how you'll know that it is the Savior. You'll find Him wrapped in swaddling clothes. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. When did that happen? When was God justified in the Spirit? When He came up out of the water at His baptism and the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove and the voice cried out, "This is My Son in whom I am well pleased." He was justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels. When? When He endured His 40 days of fasting and temptation in the wilderness. And when that was over with, it says, and the angels came and ministered unto Him. Preached unto the Gentiles. There was no greater preacher than Jesus. People were mad at Him for preaching to the Gentiles. They were mad at Him for fellowshipping with people other than Jewish people, the Hebrew people. But He did that when He walked this earth. He preached to the Gentiles and believed on in the world. He said, and they that believed Him, John wrote, those that believed on Him have the power to become the sons of God. He was believed on in the world and then received up into the glory. Well, you just read the first chapter of Acts. He was received up into glory and they stood around staring in the sky until the angel said, "Hey, quit staring in the sky. Get to Jerusalem. Do what He said do." That's paraphrased, of course, but that's what He was telling them. Get with it. But so when you, if you were reading this and you came to this, you would say, when was God, not God's, not God and His family, not God and His kid. When was God? When was God manifest in the flesh? And that would tell you exactly when it was. Search the Scripture. It was so plain to them. It was so to Jesus. He gave them the greatest answer He could give them. If you would just search the scripture, then you would know who I am. You would believe who I am. You know, even when he said, I have told you and you didn't believe me, he could have been referencing all them books that those prophets wrote. I told you over and over again through the prophets, through Moses, through the scripture. But even out of his mouth that day, he told them. Praise God. It was so obvious to some. It was so obvious that even a blind man could see it. In John chapter 9, verse 29, there's a blind man who has been healed and now he is being interrogated because of his miracle. We want to know how this happened. The Pharisees and the Jews, they've called him. We want to know how this happened. And the rulers, they're concerned because they've never opened blinded eyes. Because that miracle was reserved to testify of God walking this earth. And so they tell the man, we know that God spake unto Moses. But as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Just testifying of their ignorance and their blindness concerning Scripture. The man answered, and he said, well, this is a marvelous thing. That you don't know where he is from, and yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, if he's a worshiper of God, he knows who God is. But if he worships God and does his will, God hears him. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Now, we've heard of a lot of things. Moses crossing the Red Sea, manna and quail in the wilderness, Jericho's walls falling down, Israel walking through walls of water, walking across the Jordan. We've read about Samson. We've heard about the exploits of David killing Goliath. We know about his mighty men killing a lion in a snowy pit. We've heard of even a man being resurrected from the dead that got thrown in the grave of the prophet. But we have never heard, and you have never heard, of anybody ever opening blinded eyes. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Ooh, that didn't sit well. But even the blind man knew. Nowhere have I ever heard of any man opening blinded eyes. Prophets raised children from the dead. They made axe heads to swim in the water. But they never opened blinded eyes. Not ever. Because it was reserved to testify, to bring the scripture to fullness, that when your God comes to save you, then blinded eyes will be opened. The miracle which was written before testified of who Jesus was. Search the scripture. You can stand with me. The wonderful thing about searching the scripture is that we know that the word is God, and God cannot lie. Jesus prayed and said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So God can't lie. His word is truth. His word declares fully, without any doubt, who he is. You know where people get confused at? Through the traditions of men. I just can't. Yeah, you know why? Because you're trying to place a carnal theory onto the Spirit of God. You can't shape him into carnality. You can't do that. The only time he was ever manifest in that flesh, that was it. That would be as fleshly as he would ever be. And even then, he was without sin. So not even as we are in the flesh. But you can't make the carnal and the spirit work together, because they're enemies with each other. And the carnal mind can't comprehend these things. And it was the carnal mind that got together and met and came up with a Trinitarian doctrine. That's carnality. But from the earliest record, it was God, the creator of the universe himself, that declared who he was. Hear, O Israel. When he got a people together and said, I'm going to be your leader. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to lead you to the promised land. He said, I want you to know who I am. Hear me, O Israel. Hear, listen to me, people, my people that I brought out. Listen to me. The Lord your God is only one. You won't have to go anywhere else. You won't have to pray nowhere else. You'll just come to me. You'll just come to me. Glory to God. Search the scriptures, not the internet. Search the scriptures, not the books. Search the scripture, and you can only come to one decision, one declaration, one conclusion. There is one God, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you today for your word. You are one, and we are your people. And Lord, today we worship you, God, in oneness. We worship you in truth. We worship you according to you are, the mighty God. Hallelujah, the everlasting Father, Lord God Almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords. We bless your name today. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of who you are. Thank you, God, for teaching us this and showing us this. Thank you for giving us the answer in this day. God, let us not be deceived. Let us hold to this truth in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. What a great God. What a great God.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.